The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt. We didn't make that up. Let's play it again so you're all alarmed and ready in case something bad happens on the way to work today.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
This is real stuff. This is a real radio show. I'm Hugh Hewitt, Inside the Beltway Live. That's President Biden yesterday giving the alarm. Let's hear it one more time so you're fully aware that when you go to work today, things could be pretty messy.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
What do you think when President Biden's staff realize he's gone off prompter and is just giving you his stream of consciousness thought? I think General Secretary Xi thought. Maybe he told this to General Secretary Xi. Again, at some point, he probably just stopped the conference call, which went for 3 hours on Zoom, with the confused and certainly amused General Secretary of the People's Republic of China, our adversary in the world, our greatest enemy, our existential threat. When Joe Biden gets his cards mixed up and he loses track and he looks up and he says this to General Secretary Xi.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
This is real stuff. He really did say that yesterday. Larry O'Connor, who is a sort of AAA host in radio. He's playing AAA ball. He strikes out a lot, makes some contact with the ball, can hit to all fields, but nevertheless, he's slow on the bases. I gave this to him last night, and he said he was going to rush to the studio and use it, because I try and help Larry out. It's sort of like, it's why Dwayne umpires Little League Baseball. We all have to give back, and I keep giving back to Larry O'Connor on WMAL in D.C., and he said, I'm going to start the show an hour early so I can use this morning and alert Wash. And I said, you cover Mem Bridge, I'll get the rest of the bridges because you're a wind bridge kind of guy. As far as I can tell, all of the bridges around the Beltway are open and it's not snowing. But it was snowing in New Hampshire when the president walked across the bridge yesterday.
And it didn't collapse.
It didn't collapse and there were five people on it. Now, I am a son of Ohio. And when I was young, if I had a producer, I would look up. When this happened, a bridge collapsed over the Ohio River, and it was pretty awful.
Was there
snow
fire?
Many, many people died. There was no snow fire. It was many, many people died, though, and I always kind of thought, bridges, I don't like bridges. But now that I've heard that, think of all the five-year-olds in the country who are now looking at. Don't let the kids hear this show today, because we're going to talk about this. They're going to look at every bridge they come over, and they're going to look for the fire on the other side, and they're going to look up to see the snowstorm. And then they're going to wonder, it's going to take us 10 more miles to get to grandmother's house. One more time, President Biden.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
Now, I originally suggested hashtag snowstorm fire bridge collapse. And Larry O'Connor came up with hashtag snowstorm fire bridge collapse again. And I had to yield to him on that. And then he just kept piling on because he took my show prep and he ran with it. Here I was. I had worked all day on the president's remarks. I found this bit of gold alerting the country to the impending massive cycle of snowstorms, fires, and bridge collapses and trucks that can't get anywhere. And I thought to myself, if I let the country know first, I'll get the credit for this. And O'Connor, honestly, AAA players will do anything to get to the bigs. O'Connor opens up his studio an hour early to steal my work. And so 1-800-520-1234. If you're driving today, would you let me know where the snowstorm fire bridge collapse is? 1-800-520-1234.
If you're going across the bridge, we want to hear from you to see if that bridge has indeed caught fire in a snowstorm.
If you're on any bridge anywhere.
Or collapsed.
And you see a house anywhere burning. Stop and help. We have many stories of heroes who have done the same thing. There was one in New York yesterday. A guy was running past a house that nobody knew was on fire, and he saved all the pets. He's a hero. So you be a hero today when we'll call it a Biden event. Whenever we have a Biden event, you need to stop. I don't know how you get across the river. How are we going to get across the river, Generalissimo, if the bridge is down?
I have no idea.
When was the last bridge collapse? I asked you last night to research bridge collapses.
Right?
I-35 in Minnesota. Did Tim Pawlenty have a fire on the other side?
Well, and it snows a lot there, but I don't even think the snow had anything to do with it.
No, that was a structural engineering error, and Pawlenty hung people. I mean, people died there, too. Bridge collapses aren't funny, but I think that was the last one.
I think that was the last major bridge collapse, yes.
So what year was that? If you're a producer, you should have looked that up by now.
Oh, I'm trying to...
You don't know, do you?
I don't know off the top of my
head.
You're
too busy going to John Andrazik concert.
I've got to go back to the Almanac
to
see when it snowed.
I'm not going to name a certain person named Lucy. I'm not going to name her.
No, we wouldn't name Lucy.
But she was taunting me online last night because, A, my toe is not resolved. Can I tell a little bit of the toe story since I'm ranting here about the president? He thinks he has problems with a snowstorm and a bridge
and
a fire.
It
took me 10 extra miles to get to the doctor yesterday. And online, the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt found a great doctor, a Miami of Ohio-trained Ohio State podiatrist to whom I had been referred. So we made an appointment for Monday, but I couldn't go. I had to work. I had to work on the bridge fire collapse again, snowstorm. And I had to reschedule, so I got his partner, Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim went to Penn State. I made the mistake of going in. First of all, Dr. Garrity is a Browns fan. I didn't even know that, or I would have refused Dr. Kim. Dr. Kim turns out to be a Penn State fan. So after we get the bandage off of this sucker, it takes forever. He looks at it and says, you know, we're going to wait a week to figure out what to do. And then he rebandages it. So nothing happens. And I said, where's Dr. Garrity? He said, well, he's a Cleveland Browns fan. He's not here today. I said, I wanted Dr. Garrity. And Dr. Kim may not have. Actually, I may have screwed myself because I walked in and I think I said something about the fact that Ohio State clobbered the Nittany Lions. And he's a Penn State guy. But he was very nice. He's very professional. I'm going back to him next week. But I'm going to hobble around for at least another week. Because you try wearing a shoe with 6 inches of gauze wrap around a partially detached
toenail. You're lucky he didn't hit with a hammer and say,
hurt. It was kind of like that. I shouldn't have brought up Ohio State and Penn State. It was kind of like that. Does this hurt? Does this hurt? You know,
I should have gone to podiatry school.
You should have gone, does this hurt? So when we rewrap it and I hobble out of there, I'm looking for Garrity. He's somewhere in there and he's not anywhere to be found. I'm trying to beg him to please see me next week because I like Dr. Kim, but it's not the same as Dr. Garrity. And I'm afraid of the Nittany Lion thing because he doesn't like Coach Franklin either. Oh, we have a bridge report from Eric in Ohio. Eric, are you on a bridge?
I'm commuting on 71. I'm on high alert here. I'm mortified after the president's words.
Is there a lot of bridges on 71?
Is the snow falling? Is there burning hail falling from the sky?
So far, none, but I'm on high alert.
Just be aware, will you? I have driven on the 71 many times. There's that one freaking high bridge near the airport. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That could be it. There aren't any houses around, but yeah, you know what? That one collapsed. You do not want that one to collapse.
Three snowflakes, you'll make it. Four snowflakes, and that sucker's coming down.
You know, the weight of snow on a bridge is the weight of... How fast does a sparrow fly, Dwayne?
An unladen or laden sparrow?
Laden sparrow in a snowstorm.
I don't know. 2007 was I-35, by the way.
2007? Maybe Joe was flashing back to 2007. You think? Can we get Tim Pawlenty on the line? Don't go anywhere, America. It's firestorm, snow bridge again. And don't listen to O'Connor. He doesn't have the latest updates. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
What happened? No, I'm think about it. You know, you're in a situation. What happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People could die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. You're here live inside the Beltway, joined by United States Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, who I guess is probably unaware of the looming threat to the bridges in the volunteer state. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. And I have to tell you that so many of our county mayors will say, hey, what happened to this infrastructure bill? We thought there was going to be money for roads and bridges and rivers and ports and broadband, but it turns out there's money for plus-ups on electric vehicles if they are union-made. It turns out there's money for Green New Deal and environmental studies, and twice the amount, get this, twice the amount of money for public transit as there is for those roads and bridges and runways and railways.
Now, I understand that 17 Republicans voted for it in the Senate, and I would have probably voted for it, Senator. Rob Portman negotiated it, so he probably got enough in it that I would have gone for it, because we actually do need to buck up the bridges. But President Biden standing on a bridge and saying it's going to fall down, I just think it's so extraordinarily dumb. It's the dumbest argument I have heard made for a bill in the 22 years I've been doing this show and the 32 years I've been on the radio.
It's inappropriate. Why would you instill fear and cause people to think that all of our roads and bridges are improperly engineered? We have plenty of roadways that need to be expanded, shoulders that need to be broadened, bridges that need new trusses. And everyone agrees that there should be money for that, and every state should get back their highway trust fund money that they have put in. But what we don't need is to have all of this money disproportionately placed when it comes to things like what part of the country is going to get that? Why should the Eastern Seaboard get an inordinately large share of money because they want to extend and expand Amtrak and Amtrak services? And then you have other areas of the country, flyover country, as they say, that is not going to get that. Why are you going to have a park in San Francisco that is close to Nancy Pelosi's home receive an earmarked appropriation, but you are not going to have money that is sent to rural counties to repair those bridges that are there in rural areas that maybe are 50 years old.
That's so let me ask you, Senator, there's also a provision being debated on tree equity. Has that come to your attention yet, tree equity?
Oh, yes. Tree equity has come to my attention. And this is ludicrous. $5 billion so that you can have a tree? I mean, I will be happy to step out in the woods that are near my home and dig a tree. If you would like a sapling to plant on your property, I mean, this is just some of the things that they have come up with in this bill are extraordinarily ridiculous. And Pelosi, of course, is allowing provisions to go in because What she is trying to do is to appease the socialist Democrat wing of her party, which has grown as the Democrat Party has moved away from the center and is pushed to the left.
You know, last night, the New York Times ran a headline, Social Spending Infrastructure Advances in-House. And I thought to myself, when did socialism go from big government to social spending infrastructure? Social spending infrastructure doesn't mean anything. It's never been a term of art. It doesn't have any meaning. It's a cover term for a vast hose of money on everything. This isn't going to get through the Senate, is it?
Oh, no. I don't think this is going to get through the Senate. And the infrastructure bill got through, but that's going to be about it on these big spending programs. And Pelosi and her crew want $4 trillion in spending. And, of course, I get it. Pelosi wants to pass this thing so that she can be an ambassador and head to Rome. I get it. But the American people do not join her in having affection for this Bernie bill, because what they're trying to do is cast one vote. And in that one vote, they want to take control of your kids, control of education, control of your health care, control of your bank account. They want to push forward with controlling federalizing elections, changing immigration policy, and then more provisions of the Green New Deal and a socialist economy.
Now, Senator, I got to ask. I got to pause for a moment. Are you telling me that Speaker Pelosi, we're gonna visit her on the Pope? Is that what you're telling me?
We're hearing that is the goal. I don't talk to her, but what we're hearing is that she is looking forward to becoming an ambassador.
Now, look, Francis and I don't agree on much, but we cannot do that to the Pope. No,
well,
no. You have to put a hold on that nomination. She doesn't enjoy senatorial privilege like Jeff Flake is in Turkey, right? We sent Jeff Flake to Turkey, and he blew through because even though he drove a few of us nuts, I used to campaign for Jeff, and we've sent him to Istanbul. But we can't send Nancy Pelosi to Rome. That's just... Let me ask you about this. Joe Manchin said this yesterday. Play cut number 20 for me, Ben.
You were just back home for a week. Do your voters want this bill, this big, massive bill right now?
I think my voters in West Virginia, but I don't speak for the whole country. My voters a lot differently, but they're very much concerned. Inflation has hit them extremely hard. I hear it when I go to the grocery store or if I go to the gas station. They say, are you as mad as I am? And I says, absolutely.
Do you know that gas got up to $4 and I guess 35 cents a gallon in California, Senator Blackburn?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I talk to people in California every day that have decided to vote with their feet and to leave that state because you've got gas that is through the roof out there. People are paying well over $1.50 more than they were paying in January for a gallon of gas. And in Tennessee, it's $1.23 a gallon more. So what you're seeing is this rise in rates for energy costs at the grocery store. You are seeing the cost of Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you more. Transportation to get to Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost you more. And people are fully aware of what this administration is doing.
Now, by the way, I've got a friend, Virginia, who's moving to Knoxville, and she's dragging along her no good husband, John, and they're going to be your constituents, and they're committed to voting for you. However, you can buy a lot more house in Tennessee, like five times as much house in Tennessee as you can in California. It's not going to stop, you know. They're going to keep coming.
Well, we know they're going to keep coming because we have no state income tax, thanks to me, in large part. We are a right-to-work state, significantly important, significantly important. And we are a state that believes in individual liberty, a small state government, local control. And people are saying, hey, you know what? I think I like this. And
so is there anybody besides Joe Manchin on the other side who has whispered to you, don't worry, Marcia, this thing is not getting out of the Senate?
I mean, people are keeping their thoughts pretty close to the vest. But what we do know is there are several on that side that do have a problem with this bill and with different components of the bill, the tax increases that are there. You know, they said, oh, we're not going to raise taxes on individuals. Well, what are they doing now? They're going to raise taxes on individuals. The hit list keeps coming.
It keeps coming. Marcia Blackburn, Senator extraordinaire from Tennessee, thank you. Go, watch out for those bridges, Senator, if you're in D.C. today. We've got bridge watch up for the snowstorm and the fire. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, think about it. You know, you're in a situation. What happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People could die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
It is real stuff. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'm really inside the Beltway, and I don't know where Congressman Michael Gallagher is, congressman from Wisconsin, but I hope he is on this. You're in Wisconsin. Are you on this, Congressman?
Oh, I'm in D.C. now. We're in session. But I don't even know what to make of what the president said there. Perhaps someone crossing a collapsing bridge in a snowstorm with a fire on the other side is sort of oddly a perfect metaphor for the state of the Biden administration right now.
Well, this is real stuff. And we had a trucker call in from Sacramento who was crossing a bridge, and he asked, since he was in heavy fog, if the president had actually considered how heavy fog is. Do you have any idea how heavy fog is?
I don't know. It depends, I guess, on how much carbon's in the atmosphere.
Well, heavy fog, I hadn't thought about that. That would add to the weight of the bridge. Listen, I want you to try and get a committee going today, because if this is going to actually happen and bridges are going to fall down all over the United States in a snowstorm with fires on the other side and 10-mile detours, I need to know about it. And I think this is what congressmen need to do.
This, I would imagine there's a couple billion dollars in the Build Back Better plan to address this precise problem. I mean, they have money for tree equity. They have money for all sorts of slush funds. I hope there is a line item for bridges that are on fire in the middle of a snowstorm and also collapsing under the weight of fog.
All right. We've got that covered. Now, you bring up tree equity. I am myself a beneficiary of tree equity until Dutch elm disease came to northeastern Ohio as a lad, when I was a lad, and it killed all the elms. So I would like the elms back with the ants. What does tree equity mean?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure it out. I guess it's a woke thing where there aren't enough trees in neighborhoods where minorities live, and that's evidence of structural racism and white supremacy being endemic in America. That's my best guess at what tree equity is, but I would imagine it's just a smokescreen for funneling money to heavily progressive cities and allowing heavily progressive mayors in those cities to dole out those funds in a highly inefficient manner, which is emblematic of the broader bill that we're considering this week.
But there is a bill your staff put out. It circled tree equity. And I began to think, how exactly are they giving that money away? Is that in the bill, where it goes and who gets to spend it and what they have to spend it on? Because tree equity, broadly defined, could actually be landscaping on people's houses, right? I don't know what it is.
It could be anything. I mean, it's just this bill, I can't believe we're sitting here this week and that my so-called moderate colleagues on the other side of the aisle are even contemplating passing the most progressive piece of legislation in modern American history, just a few weeks after the election results in Virginia sent a resounding signal that this is not what the American people want. But this is tree equity nonsense is emblematic of the entire bill, which is a massive grant of authority to the federal government and a massive amount of money for unelected bureaucrats to dole out as they see fit. It's going to make us less competitive internationally. It's going to exacerbate our fiscal crisis in this country. It's not going to do a darn thing to improve the lives of people that are struggling to make ends meet. It's going to turbocharge the inflation crisis that working Wisconsinites are dealing with every single day. And it's going to decrease our deterrent posture vis-a-vis our enemies, notably China, because it's distracting us from the things we actually need to invest in right now.
Now, occasionally a line appears in one of these bills. Remember the Bridge to Nowhere? Remember the Bridge to Nowhere? You're too young to remember the Bridge to Nowhere. It comes to define the bill. I think tree equity may be the prism through which we view this entire bill. Because if you walk up to the average American and you ask them what tree equity is, they won't know. And then when you ask them, should we spend, is it $2.5 billion?
I believe that's the number.
Does anyone out there know what $2.5 billion is? How many college scholarships it could provide? How many swimming pools it could build? What it could, $2.5 billion for tree equity.
We're talking three frigates right there, Hugh. That's money that could be well spent. Or look at all the other sort of Green New Deal provisions that are in this. The bill would establish something called a civilian climate corps, which could number up to 300,000 people. So for context, the proposed civilian climate corps is bigger than the total number of people in the United States Marine Corps. That tells you how crazy this bill is. It has $80 billion for the IRS, which would allow the agency to nearly double its size and add up to 87,000 new IRS agents. So this legislation would add enough IRS agents to completely fill Lambeau Field with about 5,000 people left over. And also, the bill would create more than 150 new government programs at a time when the government can't even manage the programs it has on the books. It's absolutely insane. I am imploring my colleagues in swing districts, so-called blue dog Democrats, moderate Democrats, if for no other reason than I'm appealing to their own political survival instincts, walk away from this bill before it's too late. This is an incredible act of hubris on the part of the Democrats right now, and it is bad for America.
So BBB is $2 billion for tree equity, doubling the size of the IRS. And what's the third takeaway? Because you got to define a bill by its most absurd provisions. And so we've got doubling the IRS size, tree equity. What's number three?
I think the Civilian Climate Corps is a great encapsulation.
I think you're right. And there are really 300,000 people in that?
That's what's been estimated. This is AOC's signature provision. She wants a bunch of unemployed baristas to become government-paid civilian activists running around the country doing God knows what.
I mean, is it outlined? Do they tell us what the Civilian Conservation Corps is going to do?
Not in any detailed or meaningful sense. And because we haven't had a meaningful committee process, any real debate on the House floor, because, you know, about 20% of Congress isn't even showing up and still voting by proxy, because we're waiting on a CBO score to emerge on Friday evening, and we may have a vote 2 hours later for a multi-thousand page bill that nobody's going to read. No one's even able to ask basic questions in a public setting and demand answers from, let's say, the executive branch agencies that would be in charge of overseeing these brand new programs.
So that was my next question. Who gets to oversee the tree equity money, and who gets to oversee the Civilian Conservation Agency, Corps, whatever?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe there's going to be a tree czar that's created in the federal government, which, as someone who just spent the last 2 weeks raking leaves in my lawn in northeast Wisconsin,
your
who's
going to
rake up all the leaves, Hugh?
You're tree privileged. Privileged person, and you're not actually entitled to speak on this as a tree privileged person. I'm interested in where they're going to house the 300,000 people. You know, everyone has this romantic vision of FDR Civilian Conservation Corps, right? and they had some young people who were unemployed in the woods living in cabins. That's not going to happen anymore because of the ADA. And there's a good reason we have the ADA, and those facilities are going to have to be ADA compliant, and they're going to need gender-neutral bathrooms, and they're going to need all sorts of inspections. It's not going to cost what it says it's going to cost. So my question is, do any of your Democratic colleagues take you aside and say, we know this is nuts, but we have to vote for it?
Yes. I have had conversations behind the scenes, but their rationalization is that, well, the bill started off at $6 trillion, or Bernie Sanders wanted $10 trillion, and now we've got it down to $1.75 trillion or $1.5 trillion. So first of all, that's not even true as a matter of fact, because they're playing all sorts of budgetary games and relying upon gimmicks to get the cost at that level. And they're not factoring in sort of the total life cycle of these programs and their costs over the span of 10 years, as well as the fact that anytime you create a new government agency, it's incredibly difficult to get rid of it. And I also think they recognize that the energy in their party is on the far left. And the fact that Bernie Sanders defined the terms of the debate and started off with such an ambitious number, and the compromise number is $2 trillion after we spent $6 trillion for COVID, after we just spent $1.2 trillion for infrastructure, loosely defined as infrastructure, which was largely a Green New Deal package disguised as infrastructure. 90% of it was for things other than roads and bridges and didn't fix the underlying issues that causes American infrastructure to be the most costly in the developed world. I think they're getting hoodwinked.
Last question, Congressman. Do you know my friend Tim Ryan across the aisle from Warren, Ohio?
I do.
Okay. Would you go and ask Tim how he expects to win a Senate race having voted for tree equity?
I will gladly ask Tim that. Tim and I have spirited football conversations that are similar to the ones that you and I have on the House floor.
We're not going to have that today because of an unfortunate incident in Foxborough last weekend.
It was against a very good team.
Tim Ryan wants to be a senator, and I think he's a formidable candidate. I asked at the Ohio Senate debate, how are you going to beat Tim Ryan? And they all had different. I know I'm going to beat Tim Ryan. I'm going to wear I'm not for tree equity and Tim Ryan is T-shirt. And that's it. I mean, it's going to be over. Ohioans are not stupid. If they vote for this tree equity thing, Tim Ryan is toast. He's like the leaves you raked up last week. Don't they know that?
I feel like we're witnessing some bizarre groupthink on the left right now, and they feel like the lesson of the Obama administration, remarkably, was that they didn't go far enough in terms of advancing the progressive agenda. But again, I just go back, and I'll shut up after this, Hugh. The American people are not asking for this radical progressive change. America, at best, is divided right now. They do not want this agenda. The Democrats are profoundly misreading the American people, and there will be a red wave in November as a result of this.
Yes, there will. And Tim is not going to be a senator if he's the senator. If he wants to be the senator from tree-privileged Ohio, and we are tree-privileged in Ohio, he is not going to get – he's not going to win. Mike Gallagher, Congressman Extraordinaire, thank you for your forbearance on that disaster in Foxborough. I thought somehow you would bring it up four or five times in this, and you're lucky you didn't. Congressman Mike Gallagher, always a pleasure. Don't go anywhere, America, except to relieffactor.com. Look, there's the bag. I should send some to Mike Gallagher because he's got to walk across the House floor today, which is more exercise than most of them get. Relieffactor.com, $19.95 will get you started. 3-week starter pack. Now, what will it not do? It will not heal your toe after a toe disaster. It will not knit a broken bone. It will not in any way, shape. Why do we have Brian Westbury's face up there? It will not in any way, shape, or form do anything except help you with the minor aches and pains that come with exercise, aging, and commuting. So if you're in that truck in Sacramento, I'm talking to you right now, friend. If you're that man or woman who has bad back because you're shifting down all the time on the grade down from the Tone Pass. All you need to have is relieffactor.com in the cab, and you will feel better. All you need to do is take it every day, and a 3-week starter pack is $19.95. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Brian Westbury joins me next to talk tree equity in Chicago on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound as they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I didn't think about it. You know, you're in a situation. What happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People could die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
This is real stuff, and I'm really Hugh Hewitt, and this is really Brian Westbury of First Trust Portfolio joining us with the latest on fire, bridge collapse, snowstorm Armageddon that's going on all around us as we speak. How are things in Chicago, Brian? Are the bridges falling down around you?
Hugh, every road is under construction. So if the president is really worried about things taking a lot of time to get to, we've always got problems in Chicago. There's never not a traffic jam because we've lost a lane or two to construction.
I would never go near another bridge in Chicago. I think that you are duly warned. The president has warned you, Brian Westbury.
Yeah.
Listen, we also have tree equity issues. I just talked to Congressman Gallagher. There's $2.5 billion in the Build Back Better for tree equity. Now, you're tree privileged, I think, living where you live. Do you have trees where you live?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're tree privileged. So I'm looking for an economist understanding of what tree equity is. What is tree equity, and why are we spending $2.5 billion on it?
Yeah, I'm peculiar to, you know, I like oak trees, like, but then apple trees are pretty. I mean, I wonder if oak trees feel inferior because they don't have fruit. We probably need $3 billion for this.
All right, I agree. You're the economist here. Now, Mike Gallagher just told me there's also a brand new 300,000 person strong civilian conservation corps. It's the right. Green New Deal's, it's the point of the spear for the Green New Deal. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? You're the economist. What will they cost per conservation corps member?
You know, Hugh, this goes back to the 1930s. You know, one thing, there's nothing new under the sun, right?
Right.
So you go back to the New Deal, the 1930s, FDR, I'm sure we're doing this somewhere with our budget today, but we hired actors and poets and authors and to propagate the message of how great government was. And we also built a civilian service corps, or I forget the name of it at the time. We also built a lot of roads in national parks and things like that. But in the end, that's not what got us out of the Depression. And by the way, this whole idea that the Depression just came in from the middle of nowhere, it didn't. We passed the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. The Federal Reserve caused a collapse in the money supply. Herbert Hoover raised tax rates. FDR increased regulation. We blew it on all four fronts of economic mismanagement. In this case, mismanagement, and that's what caused the depression. And then,
but you know, Brian, at the end of that, I like to tell people, I spent my misspent youth lifeguarding at Waddell Pool in Niles, Ohio, built by the WPA. Mm-hmm. Still a fine yep. swimming pool, still in use today. At least there was a swimming pool at the end of it.
Right.
I don't know that there's anything at the end of this thing other than inflation. No. And yesterday, they said, I heard the argument made, another $2 trillion doesn't matter to inflation. They actually made that argument yesterday.
Yeah, they're trying to, they don't know what to do because on one hand, they tell us that this bill is going to lower inflation, and it's not because they claim it's going to increase productivity. On the other hand, they try to tell us inflation's no big problem. Well, if inflation's no big problem, why have something to lower it? But here's my biggest point about this. If the New Deal and the Great Society, two massive government expansions, were so successful,
then why do we need to build back better? This is, you know, the government in 1930, prior to the New Deal, the non-defense part of our government, which is the biggest part, was 2.5% of GDP. Today, it's 27% of GDP. Government has grown 10 times faster than the economy. And our problems evidently keep getting worse, in spite of the fact that the government is the fastest growing, greediest institution on the face of the earth.
And Brian, so if you had to give a college class and you told them, go find a job in a sector that will grow, would you tell them to go find a job in the government somewhere?
I would not. I think there are some government jobs which are truly service to others, all right? Police,
yes.
Fire, defense, but a lot of the other ones are just a waste of your life.
But you'll get a pension after 30 years, and you'll have a comfortable working environment, and you'll never get fired no matter how bad you are at it. This is socialism by a different name. And Brian Westbury, you keep up doing your best to alert people. Westbury on Twitter. Thank you, Brian. Coming back with Senators Lankford and Cotton next, America. As Bridgegate continues, snow, fire, Bridgeageddon on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Conversations around those kitchen tables that are both profound and they are ordinary. How do I cross a bridge in a snowstorm? What happened? No, I didn't think about it. You know, you're in a situation, what happens if the bridge collapses and there's a fire on the other side? It's going to take 10 miles longer to get to the fire. People can die. I mean, this is real. This is real stuff.
This is very real stuff. The president really said that yesterday, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, Inside the Beltway. Good morning to you. Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma joins me now. Good morning, Senator. I was in your home state last week. It was a wonderful time in Oklahoma City. I enjoyed it very much with the Christian Employers Association in the heart of the city. I had a wonderful time, but I didn't worry about the bridges last week. Now I have to worry about the bridges.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get in and out of the state. The bridge didn't collapse in front of you and cause a fire on the other side that you had to get to.
Yeah.
So grateful. They were very excited to be able to have you there. I had the opportunity to be able to also see some of those folks earlier in the day, which you saw them later that day. It's a terrific group of people.
It is. Now, Senator, you've served with Joe Biden. He was the president of the Senate for 8 years. I don't think you overlapped in the Senate before that. Maybe you did. So what is he saying there? I mean, what goes through the mind of a United States senator who's likely to be there for a long period of time? And I hope the people of Oklahoma keep sending you back. When you hear the president of the United States say something that disconnected from kind of reality.
Well, I think it's where the American people are at this point, where they've been asked a question recently, is the president in good health? And the vast majority of people now say, no, I don't think he's in good health at this point. And I think it's the concern that people have that when they hear him say something like there's a fire on the other side and the bridge collapses in a snowstorm and he starts going through, you start to just get worried about it and think, okay, this person's also going to make decisions about Afghanistan, about Taiwan, about Ukraine, about Russia, about China. He's going to be determining our trade policies, going to be dealing with issues of inflation, and you start to be able to worry about the country and the direction of the country and who's got their hand on the switch.
Now, you're probably the least like President General Secretary Xi of anybody in the United States Senate. The camps that you ran were for Baptist kids going for the summer. He's running genocidal camps in Xi Jinping province. But think about, if you can, a three-hour conversation with President Biden and General Secretary Xi after that's over. What do you think he thinks?
Yeah, that's the biggest concern I think that a lot of American people have is to say, okay, if he's the person, the President Biden is the person interacting with Xi in China or with Putin in Russia, do they sense weakness? Do they sense hesitation? Obviously, watching what happened in Afghanistan, I would think so. And the fear really is not for those individuals. It is for the people that are in Taiwan and Ukraine and hundreds of other places around the world to think what's going to happen. I've heard lots of people that are incredibly frustrated with what's happening in Ethiopia right now, and it seems to be the apathetic response of the White House. And to say there are these issues that are breaking out, as they always do around the world, but they demand American leadership at least to be able to speak into a clear way to be able to help. We're not traveling around the world to be able to send our military every place. We've got to be able to speak with some leverage that we have as Americans, the leader of the world. And the concern is, will the leader of the world actually speak strong as the leader of the world should?
Now, I want to get granular. The Bailed Back Better nightmare is coming to you soon. It's got tree equity in it. I just talked to Congressman Gallagher about this. Tree equity, $2.5 billion for tree equity. First of all, do you know what tree equity is?
So my understanding is tree equity is for planting trees in poorer neighborhoods. But I have to tell you, in a state like Oklahoma, the eastern side of our state is covered in trees, and the western side of our state is just flat, open, beautiful plain. So I would say in Oklahoma, we need some tree equity coming to us to cover up trees on the western side of the state as well. So we're tree poor on the west and tree rich on the east. So clearly we need federal subsidies to be able to solve that clearly.
Well, I have driven the great state of Oklahoma from west to east, going west to east. And you're in fact correct. There isn't any tree on the western side of Oklahoma. So I think a lot of this $2.5 billion is going to go to western Oklahoma.
Clearly needs to. I've said often that on the western side of our state, there's not a tree that God planted. Somebody actually put that in the ground. So clearly, well, Joe Biden needs to personally come and plant trees on the western side of my state to provide some tree equity there.
So when you walk over to Joe Manchin today on the floor of the Senate, what's he think about tree equity? West Virginia is pretty tree rich, actually. I've been through West Virginia, too. They're not going to get any of this money.
No, and you know what? There's 100 other programs that are out there for environmental justice and for payoffs. Basically, the way this bill is set up is that they have big, nice titles on it, but it's really paybacks for the people that did the campaign work for the Biden team and for Democrats, and they're trying to make sure they can continue to be able to fund all these organizations that work so hard on the ground for them in their election and to be able to help the millionaires that help them in different targeted states. That's why they have a huge tax break for multimillionaires that have had lots of folks say, that's not in the bill. It's like, yes, that absolutely is in the bill. There's a giant, the vast majority of millionaires will get a tax break in this bill. At the same time, the Democrats continue to say they're actually going to increase their taxes on millionaires. It's actually not true. So this is a payback to donors. This is a payback to campaign volunteers. That's what this bill really is.
Are you talking about the salt limit? Because I can't believe they're putting that back. And I was against removing it because I think it was unfair to longtime home purchasers in high-priced states. But they did. I mean, the tax reform got rid of the state and local tax deduction, meaning property taxes and income taxes in the high-tax states were not going to be deductible above $10,000. Democrats want to put that pick in because of New York and California. Are they going to go through with that? That's just nuts.
They not only are going to go through with that, in their negotiations 2 weeks ago, they actually increased it again. So it's up to around $90,000 tax deduction for individuals that are high-worth individuals, that they will get into a $90,000 tax deduction in this bill with the state and local tax deduction. So if you live in New York and New Jersey, California, high-tax states, and you have a high income, obviously most people don't pay $90,000 in taxes even to be able to write that off. So these are individuals that are paying more than that, that they get the opportunity to be able to write off their state and local taxes when that just doesn't affect the vast majority of middle-income Americans. It is high-worth individuals that they're actually getting the benefit to.
So when you talk to Senator Manchin, I'm on right now in Wheeling. Great audience in Wheeling. This bill screws West Virginia six ways to Sunday. There isn't a provision of this bill that isn't bad for West Virginia. Why doesn't he just come out and say, no, not now, not ever, never?
Well, he has started by saying, to Joe Manchin's defense on this, he started by saying, this is not the right time to do this. We have massive inflation that's coming, and this bill is going to cause more inflation, and people of West Virginia don't need to have more inflation. He is absolutely correct on that. He's absolutely correct. They've got lots of issues in this that absolutely target West Virginia to be able to destroy West Virginia's economy even more than the Obama administration went after them. And so they're trying to be able to find a way to be able to destroy his economy. He is standing up for his state, as he very well should stand up for his state. But there's lots of other provisions that are in it that he's also looking at, and he just rolls his eyes and says, I can't believe that kind of crazy stuff is in there. So he has to make a decision, Kyrsten Sinema, a multitude of other Democrats that know this policy in this particular bill will hurt companies, will hurt jobs and their economy, and raise inflation in their state even more. This is the equivalent of trying to put out a fire of inflation with more gasoline to try to put out the fire. I guess a fire on the other side of a bridge that a snowstorm took out. And that's the problem that they've got, is that in their gut, most Democrats know exactly what this is going to be. But the left and the far left continue to be able to duke it out to figure out how far left they can push it.
You know, yesterday the word arrived that John Sununu is thinking about making a comeback because his brother Chris is not going to run for the Senate seat in New Hampshire against Maggie Hassan, your colleague from New Hampshire. She has to look at it. It's a Boston bailout. This is a Boston bailout. It's for everyone living in Boston who needs a SALT deduction. It's for the people of Massachusetts who are, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Ed Markey Democrats. It is the most left-wing bill in the world. And Maggie Hassan has to run for re-election. Why isn't she on the ramparts saying, no, this shall not pass?
Well, she should be, as well as a host of other Democrats that know what this is going to do to their state, whether you're in Delaware or New Hampshire or wherever it may be across the country. With John Tester in Montana, you've got all kinds of Democrats that are out there that should look at this bill and to say, this is really a bailout, or this is a bill that's going to help out the far, far left. And this is not going to help the vast majority of Americans, and Americans know it. I've a friend of mine who says this bill is like a hard-boiled egg on the sidewalk in the summer. The longer it sits out there, the worse it smells, and everyone should see it for what it is.
Well, I was told this morning by your colleague, Marsha Blackburn, that the buzz is Nancy Pelosi gets this pass, and she retires and goes to Rome. And I can't believe we're going to do that to the Pope, but maybe we're going to do that to the Pope. If they vote for this, I mean, if anyone votes for this, do they lose in 2022? They should, if anyone votes for this.
Oh, yes, there'll be a vast majority of folks that'll actually lose. And all those swing states and all those swing districts, there are a lot of folks that have got to decide on the Democrat side of the aisle, is this going to be what I'm going to actually go down for? Knowing if they pass it in the House, it's not going to pass in the Senate. And so they've got to decide, am I going to walk out on the edge of the plank here with Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer saying, do it, do it, do it, knowing they're going to lose their election and it's not going to pass the Senate? Why would they step out and be able to take that leap, knowing what the real cost is going to be?
I hope they listen to you, Senator Jim Lankford. It is one of the great senators, James Lankford from Oklahoma, that we've got working on the Republican side for all Americans. He's just a great senator. Thank you, Senator Lankford. I'll be right back. America, stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.